Hello, and welcome to the Television Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be having a spoiler-filled discussion about a television show that we think you'll enjoy. In this episode, I'm joined by my sister, and we're going to have a spoiler-filled discussion on the second season of the new Night Court show that started in 2023. And it's good, it's entertaining, but Night Court, I think, is one of those upper echelon classic sitcoms.
The original one, yeah.
The original one, yeah. That this, frankly, in my opinion, while good, it pales in comparison.
Well, the original Night Court had, from my perspective, when it got the final cast, the Richard Mall, the cast we all think of together, it was kind of any one of them could have headed up a show. Yeah. They were all so talented.
Well, Richard Mall was, I think, there at the beginning, but Roz came around third season, Christine Sullivan second or third season. I could be a season or so off on some of these things. And it, you know, Mac took a few seasons to get there and stuff. So really what I think most people consider the classic cast of the original was really around third, fourth season is when that happened. But they also had really strong writing.
Yes.
And a solid enough cast that they could hold an episode on their own, but also they had pretty witty writing for the cases and things like that for just some good one-liners and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really on both sides of it, I think, where the new show was kind of falling down. I don't think these characters are as inherently interesting or funny as the original.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, the original had many seasons to get up to that point. Here, they've only had, you know, two seasons, if you can count the second.
Well, and both of them, by comparison, I would think are shorter seasons.
I'm trying to remember how long a season of the original Night Court was, because the first season went 16 episodes for this version. The second season went 13, so that could be the equivalent of the first season of the original. I just don't remember.
The original show had 193 episodes over, what, five seasons?
No, it went longer than five.
Nine seasons,
I was going to say.
So, yeah, okay, the first season was just 13 episodes.
But second season was probably
22.
22, yeah. They're getting better. The characters are gelling a little. I don't think the cases they're presenting are as hilarious. Some of them have been pretty good, you know, when you get the mime and a few things like that. But I really think a lot of why this show got to the second season is John Larroquette as Dan Fielding.
Definitely.
And I think Michelle Roush brought an audience from Big Bang Theory. And one of the things I noticed this season was what I felt was a heavier use of guest cast.
I would agree with that, yeah.
I mean, the original had a lot of extras, a lot of big-name guest stars in terms of Mel Torme, John Astin, and the like, to name just a few. But this season had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Wendy Malick. Dave Foley,
yeah, that one surprised me. We also had Brent Spiner reprising his role as, I forget the first name, but Wheeler.
Mm-hmm.
And he did a good job, but I didn't think they gave him great material compared to what he would typically get.
They gave him minimal material.
Yes. It felt like he was there in passing, and they were trying to set up the daughter character to recur. And to me, that should have been a more focal part of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
But we also had Marsha Warfield reprise her role as Roz.
Mm-hmm. We had Richard Kind.
And it felt like more episodes than not had that recognizable big name, let's focus on this character. You know, or that actor and stuff. And they were funny episodes. They were good guest stars. I appreciated all of that. But I really thought one of the strengths of the original Night Court was you would have the up-and-coming actors.
Yes, yes.
When Brent Spiner was on the show, or the original show, that was, even before he was on Next Gen.
I would have thought so.
I mean, he did some of it concurrent with Next Gen, but this was before some of these people were big names,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of them just got great material and delivered it really well.
Yes.
Whereas here, Richard Kind, he's been around the block. He's a great actor. They used him really well. Same with a lot of, you know, Wendy Malick, I think, did a great job.
I think she had fun.
Yes. But when you're getting people who have headlined other sitcoms as kind of a let's bring them in for an episode, it's a little bit of kind of like what they did on Lucifer for the singing episode. Let's get somebody who's got numerous albums to their name to be a guest in that episode and stuff. It's rigging the deck a little bit, or stacking the deck, you know, which is fine. It makes sense. But
Brent Spiner was on from 85 to 87 is when he did his episodes.
And Next Gen started in 87.
Yeah.
So it was before he was Data, the bulk of it, at least. Yeah. So I think they're relying on the big name guests to come in and help prop up the show a little bit. And one of the things they would do periodically, and I don't remember how early into the show it started for the original, but they would do kind of the Clearing the Docket episode where it was just rapid fire.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think part of it is television back then, television now is very different on a production level. And certainly any shows during or after the pandemic, and just where I think there are tighter budgets and stuff,
mm-hmm.
a lot of those Clearing the Docket things, you had extras and whatnot in and out of that set rapid fire.
Yeah.
Let's get them in. Let's do the sight gag. Let's move on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a little harder to do these days.
Yeah.
Not to say it can't be done, but I get where you want to have one character, and if you're going to pay for them for the episode, use them for the episode. But then again, you get Brent Spiner, and he wasn't the only one. We had a few others where they came in, spent 2 seconds, and or, you know, the final scene of the episode or whatever.
Yeah. Well, Brent Spiner felt like he was used for the first half of the episode, and then was kind of sent home. I mean,
it felt like the framing sequence.
If this was a one-hour show where they filmed over the course of 6 days, yep. as opposed to being a sitcom that they film in front of a live audience, allegedly. I don't know if this one does or not. But where they film it all at once in one night, I would have thought he'd only been available for 3 days of filming.
Yeah, it definitely felt like there was a huge chunk in the middle where it's like, he's not here today. But again, sitcoms don't work that way.
Yeah.
So I was a little surprised. Honestly, I was disappointed with that episode because I thought his character was of Bob Wheeler or whatever was so great in the original.
Mm-hmm.
And this leaned heavily on that and didn't add to it.
Yeah.
So I was disappointed with that. We had one cast member from first season, the character of Neil, not continue to second season.
Mm-hmm.
That was never really addressed other than he left.
Yeah.
And they brought in kind of two characters to replace him.
Mm-hmm.
But part of it is the first episode we watched was the Christmas episode, but that seems to take place after the two-parter or whatever with Roz at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But they set up a character called Floby as a temporary court clerk, and then we get Wyatt
mm-hmm.
longer term. Although Floby continues, although what his position in the courthouse is becomes completely unclear.
Yeah.
And Wyatt, I thought, was a good actor, a good character, a better yes. character than Neil, which I didn't think was well constructed for an ongoing sitcom. But he has the same kind of problem I have with a few of the others, where they're very clearly acting.
Mm.
And part of it is there are sitcom aspects where you got to be a little over the top, or they choose to be at least.
I did love Wyatt in the episode that was basically about Olivia and the doorman.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was this whole aspect of, did you watch Real Housewives? And then kind of the, wait, I feel like I'm in an episode.
Yes, you should go do this so I can watch.
Live.
Yeah. And he sold that kind of stuff.
Oh, he did.
You know, he brought in a couple of new potential plot lines and angles, such as he's a divorced dad with at least one kid, I think two.
Two.
And we never see the kids, but the fact he has kids comes in mm-hmm. at one point. So
twice. Comic-Con episode and yeah. PTA Mom episode.
I've got to say the Comic-Con one, I think, was probably their strongest episode because all the sight gags in the background and such.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing Dan dress as a Klingon.
Yeah.
Because Larroquette played a Klingon in one of the movies. and how that played out with the whole Wendy Malick character and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
It moved that arc a bit, and it was fun.
The number of times Dan doesn't want to admit he's Dan. He wants to be someone else so people will continue to like him.
Well, again, he's got 9 seasons of the original series to live down.
Yes, yes.
So, there's the fact that they've made the character the same character but a likable version who has aged and, more importantly, grown.
Yes.
Over the intervening time. Because I think the original version of Dan Fielding wouldn't play today.
No. Yeah.
You know, certainly not as kind of the anchor character of the show.
Yeah.
Now, you could argue Abby Stone is the anchor character, but he is the father figure for mm-hmm. her.
Yeah.
And the lecherous old man version of that wouldn't work.
No.
Although it would be hilarious if they did a dream sequence episode of Abby saying, oh, you haven't changed at all, falling asleep, and then seeing how the show would play out if he really had not changed at all.
Yeah.
If he was still the prosecutor, still the lecherous guy, still scamming everybody he possibly could.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would be a great episode for them to do.
Yeah.
So, I am enjoying the show, but to me, the part that really makes it feel more like Night Court, the original,
mm-hmm.
than the contents of the show, is how bang on they've mastered the set.
Yes.
It looks like they just picked up filming from the exact locations and such.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny, because, like, I guess it was in the episode with the Wheelers, we had the ceiling falling down
mm-hmm.
and some stuff like that. And to me, that's kind of what I remember from Night Court, of the place was falling apart.
Yeah, and that was 3 decades ago.
Yeah.
I think the only major part of the original sets from the original show that we have not seen are the elevator banks.
Mm.
And they didn't use them often. But again, the judge's chamber looks exactly like Harry's.
Yeah.
It's clearly the same courtroom.
Yeah.
You know, there may be a little difference with a window or something like that, but something that if you were to nitpick, yeah, you might find them, but...
But they did a really good job.
It feels mm-hmm. exactly like the original. The cafeteria, mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. So, I like all of that. And there are places where bringing Bob Wheeler back and stuff like that, I like the callbacks.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of want the callbacks, but I also want them to go in their own space, too.
Yeah.
So, it just feels like some of the plots are... I don't say standard sitcom stuff, because it's a sitcom. You've got to expect that. They're a little over the top, and I don't feel that they are as either, I don't say deep, but as involved or something like that as the original would have done it.
Well, part of it is we grew up on the sitcoms that were just after the, it has to have a moral, we have to, I don't want to say stand on a soapbox and preach at you, but kind of, we're going to hit you over the head with that moral. The sitcoms we grew up on, because they were right after that, they still had the lesson in them, but they were getting more subtle with it.
Well, and we're of that age where those older sitcoms were still being syndicated ad nauseum.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The Brady Bunch, The Dick Van Dyke Show.
I Love Lucy.
I Love Lucy. You know, there's a lot of Gilligan's Island. There are certain yeah. ones that there is a... Sometimes more overtly than others, but a moral of the story and such.
Yeah. And, I mean, really, even in the episodes that could have had a moral of the story, like they could have had an anti-bullying episode with the PTA mother.
Well, they did. They just didn't do it well.
But to me, that's my point. They did an episode that had a bully in it. But they did not do an anti-bullying episode.
The original show would have.
Yes.
Harry would have gotten on his soapbox about how he didn't like bullies. Here's why, and
mm-hmm.
here's what's going to happen. It just feels like they've clearly seen the original show and adore it, but I don't think they understood how to write for it.
Well, the other thing is they think they have to write the way other shows are being written right now.
I think you've got to aim for the modern audience. But if you're going to do a revival of an old show,
mm-hmm.
you've got to have the core aspects that were its DNA. And I think they've got 75-80% of that. I just, a little hard to articulate exactly what they're missing.
Mm-hmm.
Because Gergs, I think, is a bailiff along the lines of the original Night Court style.
Mm-hmm.
I think Abby is trying to be like her father in terms of helping people and all of that, but that's the only aspect of her father I think she's really got.
Yeah.
And I don't think she's pulling off that character as well as potentially it could be done.
I think Dan had the best line with Abby in the room of, "Abracadabra, open the door."
And then had to clarify that that's her full name.
Yes.
Yeah. I thought one of the other interesting guest stars they had was, and I forget the actor's name, but it was one of the guys off Big Bang Theory.
Oh, the one who played the fashion designer. The
fashion designer.
Yeah.
So getting one of her former co-stars, they did that in the finale with one of Larroquette's former co-stars from his other show, the John Larroquette show. There are moments of great casting. There are moments of really good lines. There are some lines really well delivered.
Mm-hmm.
There was a song Dan did at the beginning that I don't know that most of the others could have pulled off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then there was another song that Gergs did.
Yeah.
With the musical one that I think she did a terrific job on.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're lacking talent on screen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the writers are good. They're not great.
Well, and clearly they want to go more in the character arc aspects of things.
Oh, yeah.
And the behind the bench, if you will, aspect of things next season.
Well, and I get that, but they end on a quasi-cliffhanger reveal around Dan.
Mm-hmm.
But last time, they ended with Dan having gone off to go be a judge in Louisiana. And he's there for a few scenes, meets up with Roz as he did at the end, but that progresses a little. And then boom, both of them are back in New York. And it's like...
It was the finale when I finally pieced together that Roz had gone to New Orleans for her bachelorette party, which is how she had ended up seeing Dan in the courtroom.
Yeah.
But they had never made clear that she had come from New York for her bachelorette party in New Orleans.
That's the what are the odds sort of thing.
Yes.
And then Dan just leaves that job abruptly.
Yes.
It seems like to come back to New York to do a favor for Roz and just never goes back to Louisiana.
Yeah.
And the whole thing didn't make sense. And they missed an opportunity to have, because I think they had a fill-in defense lawyer, if maybe.
Maybe.
But I think the original would have had a sequence of them.
Yes. Yes.
With somebody, be it Abby or some, nope, not good enough, not Dan enough.
Yes, yes.
You know, and I think there's a ton of stuff they could have done there that would have been hilarious.
Yeah.
You know, get a couple of people that very much look like John Larroquette. Maybe they're too short, maybe they're too tall, you know, whatever. Some that are so clearly not him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or some that act like him, but you know, whatever.
Yeah.
That could have been good for a series of sight gags or something.
Mm-hmm.
But either they don't have the budget, they didn't have the idea, or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's not like it's a swing and a miss. It's just not a home run.
I think it's budget. And I say that because the court reporter never has a single line.
Yeah, but then you look at the Santa Claus episode and they filled the cafeteria with Santa Clauses. So they got money for, well, extras are cheap.
Exactly.
So there's that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's the difference between doing a TV show now versus back then.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, you could have a lot of people with speaking lines and afford it, whereas I think television budgets are just a lot more constrained these days.
Yeah.
I don't know that for a fact, but I've been watching a few other shows from the turn of the century. It's 25 years ago now in some cases. Yeah. And the number of people they have on screen is uncommon these days.
Yeah.
And I think it was uncommon 5 years ago, pre-pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
I think post-pandemic, add in we had the writer, the actor strike, all that stuff. All of those things have left a mark.
Yes, definitely.
And it's just simpler to produce if you have fewer people around.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't been paying enough attention in like the cafeteria scenes or the courtroom scenes to see how many of these extras are ones that we recognize, or do they do a good job rotating them out?
The death certificates guy seem to be in a lot of the episodes.
Yes, he's recurring. The other one that had two characters was Dan's mentee and the mom.
Mm-hmm.
and she seemed familiar-ish.
She was definitely familiar.
So, again, they've done some interesting things. That felt very old-school Night Court style.
Yes. Plot. Yes. And I personally found that one kind of entertaining. The yeah. You know you want to use the cobwebbed over yes stamp. I will get you to approve.
Well, fighting the bureaucracy.
Yes.
Giving it a physical form and whatnot. I think 13 episodes is about the right length for this writer's room, because I think they're able to fill it. I didn't think they had any episodes that were duds. But I also, while I think that particular episode we're talking about with the they've got to get the approval and the Comic-Con episodes mm-hmm. were better than most of the rest,
mm-hmm.
I think there were a couple of great lines that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar had and a few others that were just, that's why we got that guy. Okay, they nailed the line. Awesome.
Yeah.
But I don't know that they had any episode that I thought was just a complete home run.
They had some that were slow. I don't think they had a single one that I would have, you know, if you put the script in front of me and you said that one page is a minute on screen, I would have looked at that script and said, there's a laugh a page.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, even a chuckle.
I think the other difference between producing this show now and when they were producing the other one is, as an audience, we've all seen 30 years more sitcoms.
And that's true.
So when there's a bit with, they've got the Duke in the courtroom, you've got the British guard who's standing stoic, staring forward, not saying anything, and Wyatt's like, Olivia, that's perfect for you. He doesn't speak and you don't shut up or whatever.
You don't listen.
Yeah, you don't listen. And then way to beat, and she repeats that as if she hadn't listened. I mean, yeah. We all see that coming.
Yeah. But what got me a chuckle was the actor Wyatt's reaction to the way she repeated. He pulled off the reaction shot.
Yes, he's doing very well with that. I'm curious what else he's done. The problem I had with that whole thing is she's essentially trying to seduce the guard the entire episode.
Mm-hmm.
At the end, his watch beeps, his shift's over, and he's like, yeah, let's get it on. She's like, nope, not having it. Bolts, essentially. Whoa. And it just fell flat, and I think the original show's writer room would have nailed that moment.
Yes, and I agree with that, because what they were trying to convey and what they didn't sell was when the watch beeped and the shift was over, she suddenly realized that the strong and silent was just a persona
yep.
he put on for work. And if the watch had beeped and he'd said, oh, thank God, now I can talk, and she'd been like, what? Why do you talk?
Well, I think the original one would have had him have auctioneer-style rapid-fire voice.
Oh, yes.
And just not shut up.
Yes.
Because he's been bottling it all day. And we had one that they had an auctioneer
defend himself. Yeah.
And that was pretty good. And that's the kind of case the original show would do so often.
Well, and I like the three pregnant women who had gone into labor and all had cases on the docket, and they got combined. Because it was kind of a, we need to get them processed so they can go to the hospital.
Or the three kids who are from the cast of Oliver or whatever.
Yes, yes.
Those are the sorts of things that feel very old school.
Yes.
So they do them occasionally.
Yeah.
But I think you could have cherry-picked a couple of things from a variety of the episodes in terms of, let's do the auctioneer, let's do those three kids, let's do this or that, and gotten one episode that was just brilliant.
Yeah. Well, I'll admit the box when we needed to clear the court was kind of entertaining. The description of what had been in the box later was amusing.
Yeah. Again, they've got a good writer's room, but they're doing a revival of one of the sitcoms that I think is more fondly remembered and did better than most sitcoms of its era.
What do you think would happen if they got some of the sketch writers from Saturday Night Live to pitch them the cases? If the writers were doing everything but the cases, if you will.
I don't know that I'd go with the Saturday Night Live writers, but I like the idea of almost two parts of the writer's room. One that's doing kind of the arc, and another subset that is doing the one-liner cases mm-hmm. type thing to just drop in, produce the funny while the other's doing a little more of the dramedy.
Well, because, like, back in the 90s, I mean, some of the commercials that they made within Saturday Night Live, you know, the Jiffy Pop airbag. Once your car is in a collision, upon impact, the popcorn kernels will be released into your car's oil pan. When the airbag deploys, the popcorn will release into the airbag. When you return to consciousness, tear open your airbag and have a popcorn snack while waiting for the first responders. That kind of humor, if you could put it into the case and into those sections.
And I worry that they've got a writer's room where it's like, okay, you're writing this episode and you've got to do it stem to stern.
Mm-hmm.
And they're more worried about, does the arc for the episode work? Whereas it's a different style of writing for the, I need a 30-second or a 2-minute case right here that I can insert 3 or 4 lines of dialogue to move the plot along or to get this other thing going.
Mm-hmm.
But what's the business of the case?
Yeah.
And make that funny.
Yes.
So I don't know how the original writer's room was structured for the original show, but I do imagine that they had a lot of ideas that they just couldn't make work. So when they did the let's clear out the docket episodes, here's all of those that come in. Let's just clear those out.
Yeah.
We couldn't make an episode out of them, but man, we had a funny 30 seconds here to go do.
Well, didn't the original star, Harry Anderson, didn't he do like stand-up comedy or something?
He was a stand-up magician, I think.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not sure what the background of this cast is, but I think some of who they drew for some of the cases and stuff actor-wise were people like Brent Spiner that weren't doing so much stand-up comedy, but almost more sketch comedy, that sort of thing on the side. He brought his character into the court.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing I think they need to go find. Get some people who are funny, can do their kind of shtick or whatever.
Yeah.
And build that up.
Well, one of my favorite stories from the Bob Hope, Bing Crosby road movie days is that basically the two actors were competing with who can come up with the best one-liners and who can get the other one to laugh on camera.
Well, same thing with the Carol Burnett show.
Yeah.
Tim Conway, Harvey Korman, it was, can I get the other guy to break up or not?
Yeah.
And I haven't gotten the feeling in most of this season, at least, there was any real risk of that.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is they know the jokes are coming. They're not ad-libbing or whatever. But some of them is the material isn't so funny that even seeing it coming.
Yeah.
You know, because there's some material that Harvey Korman, Tim Conway, when they would do some of their recurring bits or whatever, they pretty much knew what the other guy was going to do.
Yeah.
It was still funny.
Yes. Yes.
And here, particularly when you've got somebody like John Larroquette, who is, I mean, he had been nominated for awards so often on the original Night Court. I believe he finally just said, take me off the list.
Yeah.
He was confident in his abilities, and rightfully so. This character's enough toned down that we're not getting some of that stuff, but he's also not getting the material for a new version of some of that stuff.
I did like the collection of urns. I mean, that was a bit of a morbid humor. And a black humor, turning them into candy dishes was hilarious and not what I was expecting.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, having scattered the ashes and kept the urns, that's not what I think of. But it was kind of an interesting commentary on where he's at in life in terms of age.
Yeah. Well, and that was the one excuse they gave for him coming back from Louisiana is nobody he knew is still there.
Yeah.
But that I think that was also the episode where we got the explanation of the urns and stuff. And how he had scattered somebody's ashes on the 50-yard line and they blew past the defense and stuff.
Yes.
And just the sports metaphor taken literally was hilarious.
It really was.
So that's the kind of thing I would like to see sprinkled throughout the season a little bit more. Even in the original show, he would go out to the fancy restaurants and stuff like that. We've had no mention of that.
Yeah.
So does he no longer like the finer things? It's like, they want to leverage the Dan Fielding character and name, yet have taken so many aspects of his original version of the character. Again, some of it had to mature, had to go away, whatever. But there were other parts that could have taken on a new light.
Yeah.
I mean, he had some bums that were basically his manservant types or whatever. And imagine if it looked like he was doing the same thing today, but he was actually paying them. They were getting a good college, you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There are ways they could have it play that would be funny, but also kind of touching.
Yeah.
When you get down to the what's really going on. I'm liking the show. I just am not finding it as funny as the original. And I've, again, said this a number of times. That's a high bar to get.
It is. Yeah.
I think there are half a dozen sitcoms from its era that if you were to do a revival of, might be great, but not as good as the original. I mean, imagine if they tried to redo Cheers as such, not as Frasier's replacement show of Frasier, which I haven't seen. There are enough revivals or remakes around these days that expecting them not to be compared to the originals is just silly. They're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think all of the surviving cast members of the original have been on the show now.
That's just amazing.
Because, I mean, we got Roz.
Yeah.
And most of the others have passed away in the intervening decades, Richard Mull being one of the more recent.
Yeah, which is sad, amazing, so many things. Charles Robinson, who I want to say was Mac.
He was Mac.
He passed away.
Harry Anderson passed away. Marky Post passed away.
Yeah, we got Marcia Warfield. Gosh, the person who was in the next most episodes was the cashier in the cafeteria.
Yeah.
That's kind of funny.
And the fact that we haven't really gotten to know anyone working in the cafeteria as that kind of recurring character.
Yeah.
Because we had people in the cafeteria, the guy, the blind guy working the newsstand in the original, the maintenance guy for a while, and a couple others that were recurring.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that was also back when you had just a bigger regular cast.
Yeah.
And they actually expanded the cast this season by replacing Neil with both Wyatt and Phlobe, essentially.
Yeah.
Both of whom add quite a bit to the show and are fun.
Yeah. Well, with Flaubert and Dan's relationship, which is multifaceted, is what I'm going to call it. Because, I mean, they have the eating bromance of leftovers from here, there, and everywhere. Who can out-eat who and stuff. I mean, they were just entertaining as all get out.
Well, and I think that's one of the advantages having brought that character in, is it gives another person for the Dan Fielding character to bounce against.
Gave him someone his generation.
I was going to say, his generation, and he can relate to in some ways and not relate to in other ways.
Mm-hmm.
It brings a much needed dynamic, because first season, there were a lot of times where Dan was just sitting by himself in the cafeteria.
Yeah, which on the one hand is how Dan prefers it, but on the other hand, he needs someone to bounce off of.
But in the original, he very much wanted to be left alone, but was always sitting in with the group.
Yeah.
So there are aspects there that I think they're still struggling to kind of find their way on.
Yeah.
So I'm expecting they'll get a third season. I don't know for sure.
I'm assuming so.
But we'll find out. If they do, I'll certainly watch it.
Yeah.
This is not must-watch TV.
Not for me.
But it's decent sitcom TV.
Yeah, it's enjoyable. I mean, it's one of the few sitcoms I watch.
Yeah, I was going to say, I generally don't watch sitcoms. This at least has enough momentum and is, while a pale imitation of the original, close enough in tone, style, whatever, that it's enjoyable.
Yeah.
That do it?
Yeah.
Cool.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.